really are needing your support this year. Of course, the economy has not been the best, but giving is down somewhat. We have a lot of needs in our district in the Home Missions Department. We sponsor about 9 home missionaries, but in addition to sponsoring them, there are always needs, emergency needs of broken down vehicles and different things. So really pray and seek the Lord on what you or your family can personally give to our Christmas for Christ offering. Is anybody ever outgiven God? Hallelujah. Well, that should be pretty good evidence. And of course, we are now in Pastor Grant's feeling that we need to begin starting preaching points. And we're believing that some of these preaching points will turn into daughter works, which will turn into home mission churches, which will turn into full-fledged churches. So the money you give may be going to the Dane County area, where we're hopefully going to be establishing at least one church or one preaching point a year. Praise God. This is the season to gain weight. Hallelujah. It's terrible, isn't it? I felt so bad for Pastor Grant and his wife being up there that I took some Popeye's chicken up there. Oh, he loved it. He says, I just want one piece. I said, why don't you just keep it? And if you don't eat it all, there was nothing left there but bones. It looked like as Grant went through Richmond, he went through the chicken. So praise God. It is great to be in the house of God. This weekend was overwhelming. Pastor Grant did such a marvelous job in preaching and teaching the Word of God. We really want to pray that God would heal Brother Grant and Sister Grant. You know, these things happen seemingly right after he preaches a message that literally brings everybody to their knees, and we begin searching our souls, and it seems like our enemy then will rush in and begin to work on his life. But if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be talking tonight, Bible study on body, soul, and spirit. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:15. I think it's important that we understand that we are a triune being, that we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And there's a particular point I want to bring forth tonight, and it's how God feeds us spiritual things and how he does this. So we're going to look at the word tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none other render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there that the scripture points out that this triune being, spirit, soul, and body, the word whole here comes from a Greek word that means every part of your life. God is extremely concerned about you, not just about the things that we sometimes consider to be spiritual things. He's concerned about your finances. He's concerned about your attitude. He's concerned about your spirit. He's really concerned about every part of us. And I think one of the barriers that many of us have in reaching our spiritual potential is to lack understanding of the connection between the body and the soul and the spirit. So we want to go back to the book of Genesis to understand our triune makeup. And I'm just going to talk to you just for a minute here. At the end of the sixth day, we all know that God made Adam from the dust of the earth. And Adam had a body and a soul. And that soul had his mind and his will, and his emotions were made at that time. But it was after the sixth day when God breathed into Adam. And that's when Adam became real, and that's when Adam became alive. And that body that God created on the sixth day was just Adam's earth suit. It wasn't something that was going to be forever. It was just a place for the Spirit of God to dwell within him. So the real Adam was spirit. He is a spirit just like God. And you and I have an earth suit on us. You know what that is? This flesh that hangs on us. One of these days, that earth suit is going to be discarded, and what's going to be left is our human spirit, and praise God, in our soul. So we want to make sure that we are understanding God made this triune being with a body and a soul and a spirit, and I believe it's the will of God that we have these have this understanding about all these three parts. They have to work in perfect harmony. We have to understand how God feeds us His Word. And the body, as we know, is flesh. I mean, we all understand that. And that part God made from the dust of the earth. We know that the soul is the mind. It's the will. It's the emotions. And many refer to it as our personality. And it's in our mind sometimes we lose perspective and we begin to relate to God and the things of the Lord through our mind, and we're swayed by emotions, and sometimes we can even become double-minded. Even though we don't want to become double-minded, we sometimes can get our eyes off of the Word of the Lord, and things begin to happen that are totally contrary to what God would have us receive. Anybody here ever had fear in their heart? Praise God. Anybody ever had doubt in their heart? Anybody have confusion? Praise God. These are all emotions. But the spirit, our spirit is the part that connects us to God. It's our spirit that's within us. And the interesting thing about that, we cannot see our own spirit. We cannot feel what's inside of our spirit. It's totally separate from the body and the mind, or the soul, if you will. But it's through Adam's spirit that God imparted His Word. Adam was a spirit, God was a spirit. Adam had a body, God became flesh and had a body in Christ Jesus. Adam had a mind or a directing force, and God has a directing force, which we know to be the Holy Ghost. And before the sin came, and before God had to take that wonderful fellowship away from Adam, He had the world. He literally had the whole world in His hands. The Bible says that He had been given the abundance of everything on this planet. He'd become the overseer of the entire planet. He had health. We have no reason to believe that we have no idea, but we really don't know how long Adam would have lived had he not sinned. Perhaps forever. I don't know. But he had everything that he needed. Above all, he had this intimate relationship with God, and it was spirit to spirit. God's spirit talked to Adam's spirit, and then came the fall, and that's what we want to talk about this evening. Once the fall came, then man no longer had access to God in the way he had before. Now God was limited in His access to His creation. Now He could only communicate with man through the five senses. What we see, what we feel, what we touch, what we hear. So God then had this problem. He could not impart spiritual things to His people like He did when He had Adam on spirit to spirit. Praise God. So men were spiritually dead, if you will. And God had to communicate with men. So He communicated with them through dreams, through visions, through voices sometimes. We know that Abram had a vision. God talked to Abram and he responded. We know that Moses had dreams. We know that Moses was talked to by God. Pharaoh had dreams. We see God again and again trying to get through to humanity. But the problem that many of us have today, that we are trying to approach God in the natural. We're trying to approach God through our senses, through those five senses, that you can't reach God that way. You might think that you're reaching Him. You might feel that this is really getting close to God, but it's just not going to happen. It wasn't until Calvary's cross that God restored mankind back to the original plan. You know, at the foot of Calvary's cross, really what it was in a great big exchange. God had taken in exchange all of our misery, our suffering, our sorrow, our limited existence, and taken that in exchange for that, we receive health and prosperity and joy and the beauty and the praise and all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ had given to us at the cross. But more than anything, he gave us a new spirit. He gave back to us the ability to communicate with God through our human spirit. Everything that Satan had stolen from Adam in the garden was completely restored. Praise God. And that is such an exciting thing to know, that we now have access in the spiritual realm, the same access that Adam had. In fact, we have now, through the Holy Spirit, we have a relationship available to us today if we'll approach God through his precious word that far supersedes, because now we can take the whole Bible and look at it, and we can page through, and we can look what happened here, and we can look what happened there. We can see the end from the beginning. Praise God. When God breathed the breath of life into man, what a wonderful experience now is available to everybody who wants to receive this newness of life. You know, for the most part, when we talk to folks, particularly those who are just coming into the Lord, they suffer from an identity crisis. They really don't understand what they've received. So they still are dealing with God in their, through their five senses. I feel like I'm still bound. I feel like I'm still sick. I feel like I still have my addiction. So the reality of God's word cannot penetrate into their beings because they are not approaching God on a spiritual level. You know, the only really way we can know what's in our spirit is to take the word of God and to use it as a mirror to look at the word of God and to see what's inside of us, because our emotions, those things that sway and we go through on a daily basis, sometimes we feel happy, sometimes we feel sad, sometimes we feel like this is good, the worst day of our life. But see, none of this has any bearing on God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. And if we don't look at that mirror, which is the word of God, we'll never really know where we are at, unless, of course, God sometimes brings things our way to show us, to cause us to move in a direction that perhaps we never would have went. Probably a dimension of faith that we never would have received had it not been for whatever we have to go through. And that's not, you know, I can close my eyes, but I can't really tell what color hair I have. I can feel up there. Actually, there's just on this end. But it's the same way in the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be able to determine what's inside of our spirit. We cannot continue to try to connect with God with our five senses. Praise God. You know, I know people that still have trouble believing God could really love them. Because all through their life, nobody ever loved them. All through their life, someone told them that they were worthless or they did not have any value. And because they come to God doesn't mean that they automatically have this connection, because they're still trying to connect to God through their senses. And the only way we can connect with God, the only way we can know what does God really think about you? Have you ever thought that? He's already determined what he thinks about you, and it's in his word. He gave us everything we need to know. He's put everything that we're ever going to need right there on Calvary's cross. Praise God. And so many people I talk to live on this emotional roller coaster. You know, they're up today and they're down tomorrow, and they're up today and they're down tomorrow. The Bible calls them double-minded. They're unstable in all their ways. Everything is based upon how they're feeling or what's happening in their life. And it's just, you know, I've been there, so I'm not pointing fingers. But I want you to know, circumstances does not change how God sees us. Circumstances or what's going on in your life should not dictate how you feel about God. You know, sometimes we feel like we're sort of bound to this, to the Word of God, to the point where if I could just be a little more holy, if I could just be a little more separate, if I could just somehow draw closer to God, you know. But the reality is, you already are holy because He is holy. You don't become more holy. You are holy because He who has called you is holy. It's already there. It is already part of the package, if you will. So many people become discouraged, and some people even walk away because their perception of who they are in Christ is so far removed from what the Bible tells us God has already given us. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of understanding." People are dying in hospitals because they do not understand that the Lord has provided a way for them to be healed. People's relationships with one another are being destroyed because they're not applying the biblical principles that God's already given us. He's already promised us what He would do. He will be with us always, even to the end of the earth. What a shame it is to see people walk away from God. And for the silliest reasons, I don't think this, I don't believe that, I can't understand how God could do all these things if there's a God, and they go on and on and on and rail against God rather than allow the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ to just flow over them, let that word become part of their life. So how do we know the condition of our inner man? I mean, how do you really know where you stand with God? Anybody know? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9, above all things. The Bible also tells us that the spirit of man is a candle for the Lord. God can see what's going on inside of your heart by your own human spirit. The Apostle James, let's turn there, James 1:22. He compares the word of God to a mirror. And I believe God's word reveals to us, or should reveal to us, the spiritual truth that's in the word. The same way I can take a mirror and look at it in the morning and go, "Oh my God, oh my God." Some mornings I think that. I say, "What in the world? Who is that old guy there?" But I know. James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." James 1:25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," talking about the word of God, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this word, this man's deed shall be blessed." So unless we really look into the word of God, unless we really study the word of God, unless we begin to apply the word of God to our circumstances and to our life, you know, we have to convince ourselves. We have to have the inner man agree with what the Word of God says. We have to lay aside our preconceived notions. We have to lay aside our different things that come our way. And we need to march on to victory. Praise God. Romans 8:16. We know the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children. It's not we're going to be the children of God. If you've been baptized and filled with His Holy Spirit, you are the children of God, even though you may not feel like the children of God. You may not feel like a joint heir with Jesus Christ, but the Word of God is the mirror that reveals to our inner man, to that inner man, the hidden man of the heart, who we are. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, so many times we pick up the newspaper and we find out someone left a multi-million-dollar fortune to this gentleman. He didn't know the uncle, but now he's a multi-millionaire. You know, how silly that is compared to what Jesus Christ has given His church. That we as human beings should be given the opportunity to be called the sons and daughters of God. It is amazing to me. And this is one of the things that we struggle with, because we know who we are. We know our inconsistencies. We know our perceived lack of the things that we really do not, we know we don't have them. But see, God doesn't look at us like we look at ourselves. God looks at us complete and whole based upon His Word. Everybody say amen. Even if you don't believe it, it's still an amen. Praise God. For example, Romans 5:18, well, sometimes we don't feel righteous. Is that true? We sometimes don't feel like we're worthy. But the Bible says we already have this righteousness. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So when you were born again, when you were baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ and all the sins were removed from your record book in heaven, your sins were cast as far away as the east is from the west. Listen to me. It is done. It's gone. Don't let Satan bring back your past ever. Don't ever think about the mistakes that you made last week or 2 hours ago. If you have confessed that sin and forsaken that sin, put it under the blood. Move on. Take the mirror of the Word of God and understand it is an insult to God to feel like you have not been redeemed. You have not been forgiven. Praise God. When you've been born again, your spirit, listen to this, is identical to the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you? Dear me, it blows my mind when I think about it, and I have to stretch my spirit around that. That the Spirit of God, the one who said, let there be light, is living inside of me. Every place that I go and everything I say and everything I do, the Spirit of God is inside of me. I am the temple of God. I should fear nothing or nobody. I should be able to conquer everything that comes my way if I look into the perfect liberty of the law, the Word of God. All fear should leave. All doubt should leave. Hey, if you are doing right and thinking right and pushing yourself past the flesh, praise God. You have become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how things look to you in the natural. There is a supernatural God that lives inside of you who will take you to places you've never been. He will take you out of lion's dens. He will part the Red Sea for you. He will make things happen that you think are simply impossible. Impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. If we could get this impossibility thing out of our hearts, if we could begin to get a hold of the Word of God and begin to look at what God said, not what we feel or what we think, and get can't out of our heart, get can't out of our life. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You say, what if I don't feel that way? That has nothing to do with it. It has absolutely nothing to do with it because God said, I can do all things through Christ. He's the one that gave us the word. It's his word. It's our responsibility. It's our privilege to be able to take that word and apply it to a wretch like me. Even when you feel totally unworthy, even when you know what's inside of you, God does not look at the outs. He doesn't see all of that. What he sees is the finished product, and he's proud of you. He loves you. He wants you to continue changing. Oh, you may have made a mistake. You know, the devil loves to pull up your mistakes and just, you know, he likes to take them by you and, oh, remember when you got mad? Remember when you did this? Remember when you said that? All things have passed away. Sorry, all things are become new. I'm no longer bound to those things. They are under the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. My friends, I know so many folks who are under condemnation. They're under undue pressure because they think they should be doing more than what God's called them to do, or they're not doing enough. Why don't you just have godliness with contentment? Why don't you just thank God for one more day to spend in the kingdom of God and do the best you can today? Oh, praise God. Wouldn't you be a lot happier? And if God should choose you to do something else, he'll let you know. Praise God. If you're chosen to go someplace, he'll send you if your heart's open. Don't think for a minute that God's not watching everything you say and everything you do. He's looking for ways. He's looking for people. The laborers, my friend, the harvest field is white and ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. God Oh, let's lift up our hands and praise Him. It's exciting to me to know that my God watches every move that I make. He knows every hair that's left on my head. He knows everything that's going on in your life, and He's definitely wanting to do something for you tonight. Hallelujah. When you're reborn, you're reconnected. God reconnected man to the relationship He had in the garden. He made it possible for us then to communicate with God in a way that was lost in the garden when sin came in. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Praise God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the thing. Oh, this is so good. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why did He do that? So we could know the things that are freely given us of God. He gave us His spirit so we could then reconnect again. We're reconnected now. He wants us to know the things of God. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to tie back into the Father and the power that He's given us. Oh, praise God. Look at verse number 13. Which things also we speak, not in word, in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. When God speaks to us, it's through our spirit, and it's not something that can be understood in our flesh. In fact, the Bible says if you don't have His Holy Spirit, it'll be nonsense to you. You won't be able to discern it. When you talk to people in the world, be careful that you don't overpower them with your vast knowledge of the Holy Ghost. Remember that these people cannot spiritually discern what you're talking about because they do not have the Spirit of God. They don't have that connection. So you need to back off to the point where you can reach them on the level where they are at, not where you perceive them to be. Praise God. I just threw that in because sometimes people want to see results. And they think because everybody must feel what I'm feeling. That's not true. You feel what you're feeling because you, those of you that have received God's Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have God's Holy Spirit residing in you. You feel the pulsating power and you know what the blood has done and you understand what God has given you. Praise God. And if you're having a bad day, go back to the book. Find out what's in the book. Find out, hey, I don't care if I'm having a bad day. Why is that? Because this world is going to pass away. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said this, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I have overcome the world. Do you understand what that means? There is nothing in your life right now, regardless of what it is that God is not fully aware of, or something He cannot comprehend, or something He cannot do. He's waiting for people to connect with Him, and connection comes through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of the Lord. And if you're not hearing it in your inner man, you're not hearing it. You cannot receive it in the outer man. You've got outer ears and you've got inner ears. And if those inner ears are turned off, if the flow of God's Holy Spirit through His Word is not getting to you, you need to go back again and again and again and drink at the well until there's a time when that flow goes completely. So there's living water flowing from your belly. So there's a power of God flowing out of your life. So those things that maybe have gone a little bit dormant are now activated again. Old things that you may have forgotten about, things that you used to have in your life. Listen, let's reconnect with God. What would happen to this church if we all reconnected, if we all went back to our first love? And I'm talking to myself here. When I began to study this and God began to give me a few of these things, I thought, oh my God, listen, there's so many times I approach things in a carnal nature. I think about the worst things that could happen and I don't even think about the results that God has already promised me. Go to the book if you're sick and understand that the Bible has already given us the answer to your sickness. By His stripes, you are healed. At Calvary's cross, you receive your healing. At Calvary's cross, you receive your restoration. At Calvary's cross, you receive God's promise. He would take care of you and your children, even to the end of this earth. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Ever talk to anybody? They look at you like you just floated in from outer space. Those people on your job that you come back and say, wow, guess what happened at church last night? My pastor preached a message and told us how to stay out of pornography and to sin and to have a pure and a holy life. I'm so excited about the fact that God sent me a pastor that loves me enough to tell me the truth. You're excited about, why are you excited about that? Because I'm headed for heaven, baby! I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm just passing through here. I'm trying to dodge the bullets. I'm running through the gauntlet of life. I'm not staying here. Don't try to get me depressed with this life because I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm just going through. Oh, so I'm losing my job. Well, get another one. It's a temporary vehicle God uses to take you from A to B. But if that job becomes a hindrance to you and you can't make it to church, fire your boss. Woo! I'd rather fire my boss than end up in the fire of hell for eternity because I was backslidden. Woo! I'm getting that crazy feeling again. Ooh, I love it. Okay. Now, I'm just going to go through a few scriptures here, but the one that really came to my mind when I began to put this together was Galatians 5:22-25. Because most of the time, we don't feel like we have the fruits of God's Spirit. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, you have everything that we're going to talk about tonight. You have, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I don't feel like I've got to. It does not make any difference. You already have them. You don't earn them. God gave them to you at your new birth. Is everybody on the same page? If you wait until you feel it, you'll never receive it. If you wait until you feel like you're saved, you'll never be saved. You can't do these things. God gave them to you. He put them on you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means walk into the revealed knowledge of the Word of God and believe God for everything that He has given us. Praise God. According to Ephesians 3:10, we already have God's wisdom. We don't have to wait for God's wisdom. If we don't have wisdom, we need to ask God. He'll give it to us liberally. But we already have it. And the devil has tried to steal these things that God has already given us away from us. He does not want us to know that this is already yours. According to Ephesians 2:6, His word declares He has raised us up and we are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, I've had a bad day. I don't feel like I'm sitting in heavenly. I'm discouraged. It doesn't make any difference. Get into the Word. Get into the mirror of God's Word and say, why am I depressed? I'm already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can't earn that privilege. You can't buy your way. You can't be like these people that are selling these rides to the outer space for $250,000 or $300 million or whatever. This is free. You're sitting in heavenly places far above all rocket ships. You're already there with the Spirit of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Did you know that according to the mirror, the Bible says that we can do greater works than the ones that Jesus Christ did? Do you feel like you can do greater works than these? You say, no, I don't. Get into the Word. Let the Word of God become the judge of whether you can do these things. It's not only the works that Jesus did, the way it's put is that greater works than these. Does that stretch your faith a little bit? Doesn't it? It stretches my faith a little bit. But you know what? If you begin to say this and preach this to yourself and speak it, and when things come your way, you're not going to turn aside and start getting fearful, and doubt's not going to fill your heart and your mind. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to start saying, hey, I can do this. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can do greater things than these. I can do greater things tomorrow than I've ever done before in my life. Why is that? Because the Word of God has already promised me. Praise God. You know, we have been given power, according to John 1:12, to become the sons of God. We have been given this power to become sons of God. We don't earn this. We belong, did you know we belong to the church of the firstborn, Jesus Christ being the first, and then we are part of that family. And guess what? We have been given a double portion of everything that God has. A double portion. Why? Because we are part of the church of the firstborn. God is so good. As I begin to read down through these, according to his word in Mark 16, praise God, we have been given the power to cast out demons in his name. Listen to me. We have power to cast out demons in his name. We have power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You say, well, that's never happened to me. That's because you haven't looked into the word. It's because you are not receiving it in your spirit. If you receive it in your spirit, it's going to happen. Look what's happening here at Calvary Gospel Church. Look at the number of people who were backed up against the wall in Roy's not in here. I don't know if you knew exactly what Roy had. He had a torn in half ACL. That is an extremely painful deal. If you look it up on the internet, you'll get sick because the way that they were going to fix Roy's ACL, they were going to cut him from the bottom of his calf all the way up to below his groin area, and they were going to flap him open and try to find a tendon, a spare tendon, they called it. They were going to pull it down to his kneecap, and then we're going to pull the other one up from the bottom and put, and then they were going to have someone say, okay, put your finger right here. And then they go, they put some kind of screw in there. Does that sound like something that you'd want to go through? I said, what are they going to do, Roy? He said, they're going to pull up tendon A to tendon B, pull them together, hold them, then screw those tendons into the kneecap. I got sick when he told me that. But look at what happened when he believed the word of God, when he applied it to his life. Look at the sister sitting down here, Sister Moran. You're going to die if you take this chemotherapy. She said, no, I'm going to trust the word of the Lord. Praise God. And then we could go on and on and on. And listen, this is just the beginning of, I believe, what God wants to do in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. According to his word in James 4, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. People say, I'm wrestling with the devil. Stop wrestling with him. Resist him. Kick him out. Get him out of your life. Praise God. According to his word in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Nothing can separate us. I don't care what's going on in your life. Nothing can separate us from the love that we find in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:16, Paul literally pleads with the New Testament church. He said in Ephesians 3:16, he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. This is where our strength comes from, by his spirit in our inner man. Listen, this is dynamite stuff. If you get a hold, you say, I don't feel, it doesn't make any difference how you feel. Keep feeding yourself on it. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. Plow up the fallow ground of your heart and begin to believe God for what he has said in his word. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, 3:17, by faith that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth, and to know the love of God. We can know the love of God. We can know the love of God. Oh, my goodness. the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, we can be filled with all the fullness of God if we'll be willing to be strengthened by His Spirit. Spirit talking to Spirit. Spirit of God speaking to your spirit. You don't know until you get that word down there how much you're missing, how much you've lost, how much you need to gain, how far you need to take this to get back to where you want to be. Oh, praise God. The Bible says that we are body, soul, and spirit. We are new creatures that are destined for eternal life in the presence of a God who came a man and died for us. We'll have no excuse when we stand before Him. Who wants excuses? I want to live every day of my life as if it were the last. I want to become alive in Jesus Christ. Because if I have all these things, I'm an opportunist. I'm a gadget man. I want everything God has for me. I don't want anything more than what He has, but I want to be used of God according to His word, not according to the limitations I put upon myself. Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you know what the will of God is for your life? The Word of God is the will of God. If you have the Word of God in your heart, you will know what the Word of God is. You won't have to wonder, because you'll know the mirror of God's Word will reflect into your heart, and you will be hungry and thirsting after the knowledge that God has given to you. Praise God. You know, once we get to this point, or once we begin striving for this, I believe this is what God is really seeking in His people. He's looking for people, natural people with all kinds of limitations, just like you and just like me, who are saying, hey, it's not about me. It's not about how spiritual I perceive myself to be. It's thus saith the Word of God. We do it on many things. We do it when it comes to salvation, but there's other parts of this gospel. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be sanctified whole body, soul, and spirit. God wants the whole man. He wants the whole woman. He wants every part of you to be sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Ghost renews our spirit. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, He gives us a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. And with stammering lips and another tongue, the Bible says, will God speak unto His people. If nothing else, the fact that we have been baptized and filled with this Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in a language we've never spoken before, that should let us know that that's just the tip of the iceberg. If God can change your language supernaturally in an instant, in a blinking of an eye, and you go from English to whatever language God chooses to give you, listen, that's just a little earnest, the Bible says, of our inheritance. There is much, much, much more if we will begin to conform to His Word. As God begins to transform us, those things that may be holding you down today will eventually pass away. Behold, all things will become new. Praise God. You know, we get trapped in this world, and the Bible tells us that in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Anybody ever face any tribulation? Anybody ever face any adversity? But Jesus said, hey, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Everything in the world, He's already overcome it. How do you know that? It's in the book. Woo-hoo. I said, it's in the book. Praise God, praise God. When we stop struggling with our inabilities, with our fear, with our frustrations, with our doubt, our condemnation, all these things that human beings struggle with, including myself, if we take these issues and we take the Word of God and apply them and continue to apply them until things change, move, move, move. Don't stand still. A moving target is hard to hit. Let's stand at this. Philippians 2:5. This scripture is amazing to me. Paul's asking the church of Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's challenging us. Let this mind, what mind? The mind of Jesus Christ. He's saying that we can have it. We can be far above all principality, power, dominion, and might. Everything that comes against us, nothing can defeat us if we understand these principles. Bible says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So no matter what you're going through, there's an answer. And the other thing is, Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, where we have to settle it is in our heart. In our spirit, we need to agree with what God has already promised us. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. Heavenly Father, I'm asking right now that the power and the spirit and presence of the living God, I'm asking, Lord, that you touch people's hearts right now. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd move upon this congregation. You've spoken to my heart, Lord. You've challenged me again, Lord Jesus Christ, that all things are possible to those who believe. With God, nothing is impossible. So, Lord, I'm asking that you just have your way in this congregation, that someone would birth maybe becoming a missionary. Someone would be called to be a minister of the gospel. Someone would believe, God, for whatever it is that you need. If you're here tonight, perhaps you've never have been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never had your spirit renewed. Every one of us had to come to a place where we knew that we couldn't function anymore without the Spirit of God inside of us. Most of us didn't understand what we had to do. But if you're feeling something inside of you tonight, please come forward, because I want you to know that there's a God who wants to bring you back into that relationship, body, soul, and spirit, that he had with his first son, Adam, and renewed again with his son, Jesus Christ. Would you come?